Take your Bible and open it to Matthew chapter 2. I'll share with us a familiar passage. Starting at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We're all familiar with the Christmas story. At least we think we are. This last week I noticed on social media there was a video going around of adult actors but children's voices behind them retelling the Christmas story, getting many of the facts in there and a few that maybe you didn't know about. And all of the important details, like what color Mary's dress was and all that sort of stuff. Undoubtedly, kids who are graduates of Sunday schools from churches other than ours. But sometimes being familiar may cause us to not pay attention to the details. I think of all the holiday gatherings this time of year, and everybody has that Uncle Ned. His name may not be Ned, but he's going to tell the same stories he told last year, and the year before that, and the year before that. And the year before that. And as soon as he opens his mouth, our eyes begin to roll, our minds begin to wander, and we think we've heard this all before. Sometimes we might get the same way about the Christmas story. A manger, a star, shepherds, and wise men. Sometimes we might not be aware of a few key details that really affect the impact of the entire story. In the passage that we've just read, there are two main characters, three or four if you count Jesus and Mary, but for sake of this message, I'm not actually counting them as the main characters. The two main characters are King Herod and the Magi. Now, the Magi, or the wise men, we don't know how many there were. We associate with them three because there were three gifts, but there could have been 20, there could have been a dozen, there could have been 100. Chances are there was a good group of them. But you have Herod and the Magi. And who they are can actually tell us a lot about who we are tonight. First, we have King Herod, a man known in history to be a brutal tyrant. Herod had a reputation for eliminating, if you know what I mean, anyone who would oppose, displease, or otherwise threaten him, even close family members. In order to fully appreciate the Christmas story, we need to remember just who Herod was. He was not just a king, but one of his titles was King of the Jews. And so when the wise men came to King Herod and said, "We've come looking for the King of the Jews," he likely would have responded with, "Well, you found him." To which they would have said, "No, no, not you." And I'm sure he was not comfortable with that. So we have King Herod, and then we have the Magi, sometimes misidentified as magicians, because Magi sounds like magicians. But that's the only similarity. Or astrologers, because they looked at a star. And, of course, everybody who looks at a star is into horoscopes, right? But the truth is, the term magi refers to a known class of people who, more accurately, should be known as, you ready for this? Wise men. They were the philosopher historians of their day, advisors to kings and so on. They were informed, they knew history, they were aware of prophecy, and they paid attention to current events. I suppose we could say they didn't watch a lot of TV. Even if that were an option, they probably would not watch a lot of TV. They were readers, readers of history and readers of culture. These particular magi, or wise men, were probably from Persia. Now, there's a connection there. Just to give you a quick Old Testament history lesson, that's where Daniel, you know, the prophet Daniel, the lion den guy, that's where Daniel had been hundreds of years earlier. Consequently, they would have been familiar with Daniel's very specific prophecy regarding the birth of the Messiah king. I find this absolutely fascinating. Daniel prophesied hundreds of years before the time of Christ when Christ would be born. So accurate was this prophecy that for hundreds of years, skeptics of the Bible said, well, that's easy to explain because the oldest manuscript we have of the Old Testament dates to about the 11th century. The Masoretic text is 1100 AD, roughly. And so, obviously, the Christians just got in there and monkeyed with the details and fixed it so it all worked out right. Well, lo and behold, along came archaeology. And we've since discovered thousands of manuscripts, many which predate the time of Christ, including entire texts of the book of Daniel. We have solid textual evidence that Daniel was written well before the birth of Christ. We have copies that date 200 years before the time of Christ. And you know what? That dated prophecy that gets the time of Jesus' birth is there. It's remarkable. I say all that because these wise men from that area, having been influenced by Daniel and his prophecies, knew that the time was right. They would have been familiar with that. So here we have Herod, the so-called king of the Jews, and the wise men brought together because of the birth of the true king of the Jews, Jesus. Consider how differently they both respond. Herod, insecure, paranoid, tyrannical. Verse 3 says that when Herod heard this, he was disturbed. And it adds, and all of Jerusalem with him. But understand that all of Jerusalem was not upset because Herod was upset and they felt sorry for him. They were upset because they knew Herod. And they knew what happened when Herod was upset. We all have that family member, don't we? Don't get whoever, insert name here, mad. Because if they're mad, yeah. Herod had the authority and power to make life miserable or worse for lots of people. And so if Herod was disturbed, Jerusalem was disturbed. The word translated disturbed is one that means greatly troubled inwardly. Actually, kind of like heartburn. Jesus, Herod was so upset at the announcement of the birth of a rival king that it made him want to puke. Herod hatches then a sneaky plan to eliminate his competition. Simply put, Herod didn't like the idea of anyone else being king. And then there were the wise men, and they were watching. So when the star appeared, they knew it wasn't just a star. We don't know exactly what it was, actually. Theologians, philosophers have debated this for centuries, but they knew it was something. It wasn't just an alignment of the planets. It wasn't just a star. It wasn't just a comet. There was something about this because they knew the time was right. And because the time was right, they were watching. And they were listening. They heard what Herod said, but then they were warned, don't go back to Herod. And so they listened, and they didn't go back to Herod. They were watching. They were listening. They were seeking. And eventually worshiping. Because of Daniel's prophecy, they knew that the time was right. So they were ready and watching. They saw the star and recognized it as a sign from God. They went to the one they expected to share in their enthusiasm. And there's sort of an irony in this. The long-awaited king of the Jews has been born, and so they go to the temporal, earthly king of the Jews and are probably saying something like, you've got to be excited, this guy's here now. And of course, Herod wasn't so excited about it. And when they got to the house, verse 11 tells us, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. Traditionally, the church has interpreted this as gold for a king, incense as prayers to a god. Some say, well, did these wise men recognize Jesus as something beyond a human king? Yes, they certainly did. And then myrrh, which is used in embalming, indicating Jesus' destiny and the reason why he actually came. Like we say every Sunday morning, so what? Great story. What about it? Well, think of it this way. Herod and the wise men. Herod rejects Jesus. The wise men seek, accept, and honor. Which one are you? Does Jesus threaten your kingship? Or are you willing to humbly accept that this Jesus is the long-anticipated Messiah King, along with the wise men? Are you willing to bow down and worship him? The tough thing about holding on to your kingship is there will always be competition for the throne. And eventually, you will be deposed. There is only one kingdom that lasts forever. This Christmas, don't just celebrate the birth of the baby, but join the wise men and join us as we celebrate the birth of our Savior King. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have come together as Christians and friends of Christians to honor Christ, to recognize his birth, to reflect on the meaning of incarnation and what it means that God is with us, and to realize and say again that he is our Savior and he is the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in such an astonishing and incredibly humble way, you entered our realm to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sins. Thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.